I'm with Mark Dorling, who works at Langley Grammar School. He's going to be presenting at CAS this year. Mark, can you tell me a little bit about your role and what you do, and then we can go into talking about what you're going to be presenting at CAS this year at the conference?
Hi, thank you. Yes, I'm the Digital Schoolhouse Coordinator at Langley Grammar School, which is a transition project focusing on the teaching of pupils in primary school at a local secondary school, which is Langley Grammar School. And the focus of our teaching is ICT and computing in the sort of Key Stage 2, Key Stage 3, sometimes Key Stage 4 curriculum, and also the world of work. I have many hats. My second hat is I am the Key Stage 3 coordinator for ICT and computing at Langley Grammar School. I'm a lecturer at Brunel University. I'm very privileged to be a CAS board member. And more recently, I've been a BBC educational consultant on the Megabits videos. And in September, I will be seconded to CAS for 3 days a week.
Now, can you tell me a bit about what Digital Schoolhouse is? Because people will be quite interested when they hear. You've already mentioned that you're a transitional project in some senses, which is rare up and down the country. It's rare to get Key Stage 2 to 3 and have that done effectively. So could you outline some of the things you do and how it grew?
Yes, certainly. The Digital Schoolhouse really came into being in the United States many, many years ago through Computer Associates. And then in 2008, they cut ties with the project due to economic reasons. And Langley Grammar School decided to continue the project actually at Langley Grammar School. Since then, the project has had a bit of an educational transformation when they brought myself on board, and I worked very closely with a lady called Stacey Jenkins, who's an AST at the school. And we focused on the teaching of computing as well as ICT in a creative curriculum. Now, the children will visit us for a day's ICT and computing teaching. And at the same time, we prepare them for life in secondary school. So we coincide the timings of our lesson with the main school day for break time and lunchtime. And we use a mixture of the teaching styles and techniques that we would use in primary, as well as the ones that we would use in secondary. It's to give the children more confidence when they come up to secondary school. The reason for my being appointed as the Digital Schoolhouse Coordinator is actually I'm a primary trained teacher who's worked in both primary and in secondary education. And I now lecture on the primary PGCE at Brunel University.
That's very interesting, because when I saw your film about cards, when you were talking about sorting the cards and doing the magic trick that you've got on your YouTube site, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
I thought, this is interesting. It looks like you've had a lot of experience with primary, because not only did you actually break it down very simply into component parts and make it extremely simple to follow, you also brought in cross-curricular themes in terms of writing, and you've also thought about the special educational needs aspects with the materials you were using.
Yes, the Digital Schoolhouse is a fully inclusive learning environment. We've concentrated on that computing is for everybody, regardless of your educational need. So we have dots on the keyboards to support the children with their keyboard skills. We have dots on the mouses to, you know, left click and right click. So often I'll say blue click or red click if the children are struggling with their lefts and rights. We have independent learning videos so that we can do personalized learning. So before the lesson, we record all of the activities using Hypercam, and then the children will play them at their own speed and work at their own rate. And really, my philosophy in the classroom is it's not what you're selling, it's how you sell it. So as you say, Leon, it's about breaking the task down into its simplest components and providing a hook that links to other subjects. And there's two reasons for that. One is that I believe that children learn best when they make connections between learning, and they can see the value of learning a particular skill, concept or principle, because and how that relates to something else that they've learnt. They apply it to a new problem. The second reason for doing it is that the primary curriculum is incredibly jam-packed with lots and lots of subject, all vying for very little time, with a massive emphasis on literacy and numeracy in the curriculum. Therefore, to try and introduce a new subject such as computer science into the curriculum, where before Michael Gove's announcement, was very, very difficult in our local context, or anywhere for that matter. So what we started to do was to focus in on the cross or creative curriculum. And when I say cross-curricular, I mean an activity that, you know, links two subjects, or creative curriculum where you have a number of subjects embedded into a number of activities. It enabled the teacher to tick more than one box, if you like. So they could tick the control box at the time and tick their maths box, or tick their literacy box, or their history box. And by supporting teachers to teach computing in a more creative way, relating it to maybe their passion or their subject, it enabled us to bring computing in via the back door. And actually, this is an approach that the Royal Society highlighted in their report as being, you know, valuable, that computing should be taught cross-curricular where possible.
And also, looking on your digital schoolhouse site, I've noticed that what you do is, because it's made so explicit, there isn't any implicit knowledge hidden behind, you know, sort of received information. Because the entry points are many and easy, that there's a scaffold for colleagues in the primary sector to come and observe and have it laid out for them, so that the fear factor dealing with this is that much less.
Yes, I mean, if you think to when you learned how to drive, the first thing that you did when you get in the car, your driving instructor cracked a joke, made a laugh, and you put you at ease because you know that you're a bit nervous and a bit unsure and apprehensive. Well, that's exactly how some non-specialist teachers feel when they have to teach ICT. That example was actually given to me by a teacher not so many weeks ago. So at the start of the lesson, I prime the teacher and say, this is what we're going to be doing today. This is how I'm going to be working with you to support you. We're going to be doing some team teaching. And whilst the kids are working, I'm going to be prepping you for the next bits. You don't have to worry. You'll have the answers. And then at the start of the lesson, I will jokingly put round the classroom, okay, I'm looking for a victim or a volunteer. And the kids will have a laugh, and the teacher will put up their hand, and they will come out the front. And often you can see they're quite unsure, because obviously the teacher is nervous about, you know, not leading the class and what happens if they get it wrong. And then we talk about, you know, it's okay to make mistakes. And we talk about how computer scientists will often do lots and lots of trial and error, as we call it. But as you and I, we would call that testing. And you can see the teacher start to relax. And the lesson is one that the teacher and the pupils take part in. We have one, maybe two visitors a week, possibly a month, whereby they come to visit from schools that aren't visiting the digital schoolhouse or who haven't already visited. For example, we had a school from Kent last month. That teacher then also takes part in the lesson. And it's important for the children that they see that their teacher is taking part and being supportive of the lesson, rather than just sitting there not engaged, because obviously the children do feed off the teacher. But the bonus of doing such a CPD model, or teach and training model, is that that teacher, when they return to their school, they are provided with the resources on the website, freely downloadable, post-lesson. They are also provided with the pupils' work that they've produced during the day, as well as the training that they've received whilst at the digital schoolhouse with me, so that the next year they can come back and study a different lesson and hopefully continue to teach that lesson back at their own school with some confidence. Now, the evidence is that schools are coming each year and doing different lessons with us. And when we ask them why they're doing a new lesson, it is for that very aim, to continue to train their staff in teaching new aspects of the ICT and computing curriculum.
Now, it seems to me that that this is a wonderful system of mentoring going on. It's not ongoing. It's short, sharp mentoring, but you're actually putting hooks out to extend and push out a bit more than just the day itself. You've got the materials, you've got the whole ways back in to come back again.
I can actually prove this is sustainable because we run a cluster group. We do cluster groups. We also do staff inset training after school, twilight stuff. We also do the lecturing at Brunel University. And we do things like programming competitions, curriculum development days, a whole variety of bits and pieces, if you like.
Now, the other thing I was going to ask you that leads from this is and it kind of... your answers really have led me towards seeing that this is one of the reasons why you're so successful, is the fact that you also have extended the whole project out to more than 50 schools. So you've actually enlarged or amplified your effect. And it seems to me you've got a very clearly set out website where people can book and come along. But what do you think the elements of success are for the Digital Schoolhouse growing?
I think that there's a number of points here. In the last nearly 4 years, we've worked with 55 plus schools and 4,500 children. We've been open 2 or 3 days a week in that time, during term time, and children come between 10 and 3:30. So we have a substantial amount of time to work with these students. And we are using that time effectively to teach a scheme of work in 3 or 4 hours. And we've done this by working very closely with an advanced skills teacher at the school, who is a specialist in ICT, to ensure that every aspect of the lessons that we teach have educational value and impact. And we start off by looking at what the children should know prior to their visit. So if they're coming as a year five class, what they should have learnt in years 3 and 4. We then look at what they should know for that particular year, so year 5. And then we look at how we can extend the children into year 6 into year 7 and even years 8 and 9 material if the pupils, you know, are able to cope with that level of work. So it's really about personalising the learning. And as we mentioned before, Leon, it's about breaking things down into their simplest components. And if you're able to do that and have each of those components as an activity, or some sort of self-assessment or peer assessment or key questioning, then you're able to cover a lot more material in a shorter space of time.
Well, it's interesting because I've also been sort of interviewing Miles Berry talking about pedagogies for computer science, and this is really the sort of instantiation of that in many ways, which is quite interesting. It fits in very well, and I hope people sort of pull the sort of bits and pieces together and join the dots from these interviews, because I certainly am. It's fascinating. So now, can I ask you what your workshop session at CAS is going to be, what it's called, and what you're going to do?
My workshop is entitled Transitional Challenges: What Do I Do in September 2012? And I've aimed this workshop primarily at Year 7 teachers. However, I've tried to put a twist on it so that it will be relevant to teachers of sort of years 3, 4, 5, 6 as well, with an example scheme of work, as well as including activities and lessons which could be taught as high as year 9.
I think your session is going to be quite interesting. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you for your time, Leon.